a game face on. Get ready for the tip off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause you speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports or what's popping. It's four quarters of absolute rawness. It's if you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's.
Now, I'm sure that everybody out listening agree that everything you see ain't really how it be. A lot of jokers out running in place, chasing a style. Be a lot going on beneath the empty smile. What's up and welcome to episode 72 of All Balls Don't Bounce. My name is the entrepreneurionaire, Wall Street Will Strickland, and he is...
Dwayne Sweets Watson.
What's so funny, yo?
Because, like I was saying to you right before we started, we do so much talking in front of microphones... It's hard to know which persona who you are. So when I hear the entrepreneur, I'm like, that guy, I know him.
No doubt. But like I said, welcome to episode Ed Too Tall Jones. Even though they said he was 6'9", this is like the wrestlers, right? Hulk Hogan used to be 7 feet tall, but he's really like 6'4 and a half.
I know.
This is all about optics.
It's worse than basketball.
It is.
Like they totally fight. I mean,
Shabazz Muhammad. He was 6'6", but like... I don't understand why they measure guys with their shoes off.
That's if
they're ever going to play
exactly.
With their shoes off. It doesn't matter.
6'6 with shoes off.
All right. But no, he was 6'4 and a half with shoes off. But he's 6'6 with the shoes on.
Oh, just like, in case he gets caught up in that no-shoe-shoe matchup,
well,
right?
That might be the Marc Gasol foul you from behind no-shoe matchup. Or the Wayne Wade throwing Mike Bibby's shoe out of bounds matchup.
Of course. Right. That's when it comes into play, right?
It might happen. So, but what does it matter that he's shoulder? Oh, no. Like he could have gotten that block shot if he had his shoe on.
Well, if he had those insoles in.
Right. But as I said, episode Ed Too Tall Jones, or because we talk about optics, Ed was tall. The refrigerator, William Perry.
Was wide.
Yes, sir. So, you know.
I think our man, Crazy Man, Metal World Peace, aka Ron Artest, wore number 72 as well.
When?
You know when he had a phase where he was like switching up numbers. Like
yeah, he
actually has said that he wants to switch up every year to do certain things.
Was it in I think it was Wait, in Sacramento.
No, Sacramento maybe. Was 93, I think.
Yeah, he had 93. 12,
yeah. And then he had, was it in Houston?
No, I don't remember him wearing that in Houston.
Okay, well,
but
we can always give people a check out.
No doubt.
You can hit us up at allballsdon'tbounce@gmail.com just to let us know if we're on or off on Twitter at
yes.
ABD Media, mm-hmm. as well as facebook.com/ABD Media. We're on the iTunes Music Store, and you can also hear us on...
Stitcher Radio 2 times.
Not to be confused with Stutter Radio, it's Stitcher Radio.
But, you know, it's been crazy, man. We've been growing the business over on the one-on-one side, as you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Expanding and growing and looking to move forward with that. And we're going to make a big announcement at the end of the show.
So stay tuned.
No doubt. But in the meantime, in between time.
Let's get to the show.
Yes, sir. Talking a little footy. Your favorite.
Is it football? Is it footy or is it American soccer?
No, this is footy. It's like F-U-T-B-O-L. Football. You know, and counting the loss in the victory. You know the old saying goes that you should count every, you know, victory and every loss.
Of course.
But in this case, I'm going to switch positions with you and be that guy. I'm going to be that guy.
Oh, a loser?
No, not a loser.
Okay.
No, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be the guy who doesn't necessarily, you know, agree with how the mainstream thinking is on this Robbie Rogers coming back to play MLS soccer and being the first openly gay player to play in a major sport and North America.
So your feelings on that are, as you make that funny face?
No, I'm just saying, I think it's you know, let me, I don't want to preface too much, but I guess I'm about to. Mm-hmm. It's all good that he feels comfortable enough to come back at 25 after retiring because he felt vitriol in England.
Of course.
But he comes here, and the team he's supposed to play for is in Chicago.
Right.
But he chooses not to play for Chicago. Instead, he wants to play in L.A. where him being openly gay would be more accepted. And also, there are more opportunities for him from a lucrative financial standpoint for commercials and PSAs and all this kind of stuff. And I don't begrudge him trying to make his money. But when you crutch it on this thing and you say you want to be a pioneer, you want to be a role model,
okay,
you could have done that shit in Chicago.
My question is,
if it was really about
you, I may have overlooked it, but did he say he doesn't want to play?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. To add on to your thesis, though, the LA Galaxy are also the two-time MLS champions.
Yeah.
So it's not even like he's going to a slouch of a squad.
Right. But all I'm saying is, okay, so Landon Donovan, who guys know, is probably the best American player in the world.
But hold on a second, though. Even if you want to make that argument, though, there's nothing wrong with that. We are here, and we've always said players should be able to do what they want to do and play what they want to play. So if he says, hey, I want to come back, I don't want to play in Chicago.
What was his primary motivation for coming back? Was it Jason Collins coming out, even though Jason Collins is not on the roster
According to Mr. Rogers, he said he spoke to a bunch of kids at Nike, about a bunch of younger kids, LGBT kids, and he said, these kids are heroes, and I'm like 25 years old, and I can't stand up for myself to be a role model for what I believe in. And then I realized that I should go and play, and I miss playing soccer, football.
I mean, that's why I said I might be that guy, but I'm cool with that. Because I just believe that it's a little disingenuous for him to come back and say he wants to be a role model. And he can be a role model anywhere. Why does he have to be in L.A. to be that role model?
Hey, as a professional athlete, I think he's entitled to that choice. I hear what you're saying. But
I just felt like he was using more of the fact.
I don't think we can say it's okay for players to play when they want to play in certain circumstances.
All right. Well,
I mean, I hear where you're coming from.
You know, if you guys, we can agree to disagree. But again, as you stated just a second ago, if you disagree with what I'm saying here or what Mr. Watson is saying, you can always reach us through our social media networks and through email at allballsdontbounce@gmail.com.
I think we wholly agree on the next subject, though.
Absolute. And you know what? This is an absolute. When you talk about Robbie Rogers going to Nike, I'm sure he didn't pass Lance Armstrong in the hallway on the way out.
No.
If you did or did not know, Nike has decided to end their relationship with Livestrong and Lance Armstrong's foundation. And it's for obvious reasons, of course.
What took them so long, do you think?
Well, again, we talked about optics off the top. How does it look? Are they sensitive to the people who have benefited from Livestrong and have gotten money toward cancer research? Because all that was great, but if it was done on a lie, so I think this is kind of like a incubation period where they let it, you know, do his thing with Lance, and they kind of, you know what? It's our best interest as a company who believes we are doing the right thing. Close those sweatshops before we say this. Did I say that?
But I think that they could have, I mean, I don't want to say they waited too long, but I think that Lance coming out and talking to Oprah and saying all that stuff and everything that fell out afterwards was a while ago, where it's almost like it's late in the game for them to come
out. I don't know if it's late in so much as it is, again, a matter of best business practices for Nike.
I don't think it's a bad business practice for them to sack him as soon as he comes out and say that this foundation has been built on a lie.
Yeah, but then Nike opens themselves up to all kinds of, you know, you remember the Dave Zirin, Darren Revell battle on Twitter.
Yes.
You know, talking about Nike and the sweatshop issue. So you open yourself up to another can of worms. And I think if you do it under the guise of we thought long and hard and we really want to see what were the, you know, the risk, reward, benefits either way. Mm-hmm. Because we are all about utilizing athletes and our stature in this in the fight against cancer. And if this will help us, fine. But if it dilutes our brand anymore, if people believe that, and we did focus groups and all kinds of, like, if they went through that process and yeah. they could say that, then it looks like they really care about the cancer research and much more so than they did about Lance Armstrong.
No, yeah, you're right.
So,
well, adios.
Adios. You know what? Would you break up with somebody if you were driving somewhere and well, let's, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, relationships, and we are straight men. I don't know if we have to announce that, but we just did, I guess.
Well, if gay men have to announce they're gay, straight men should announce that they're straight.
All right, so we just announced that we're straight. And if I was, you know, trying to win a race and my girlfriend interfered with that, would you be pissed?
Would you be pissed at you? Would I be pissed at you?
Would you be pissed at your girlfriend or your wife or whatever?
You're posing to me. If she tried to interfere with me winning?
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's like, it's the most interesting fender bender I've seen.
Well, you have to understand that, in the words of that immortal poet, Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you last. So, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the number 17 car on the NASCAR circuit, is currently dating the most overrated driver in the world, in Danica Patrick. Yeah, I'm being that guy today.
I noticed that. You're setting a tone. I like that, though. It's
I'm
consistent.
I'm being that guy.
It's consistent.
And she caused him to have an accident when he was in position to win the Coca-Cola 600.
The headline reads, boyfriend causes Danica Patrick's wreck at the Coca-Cola 600.
Are you trying to say
women drivers can't drive?
Why are you trying to put me in
that? You said you're trying to be that guy. I just had to ask the question.
She was the one who caused the crash.
No. She crashed out of Sunday's race after her boyfriend, Richie Stenhouse Jr., bumped her into
Bumping is always part of the sport. If you can't drive properly, get off the track.
Are you also going to play the role of their relationship counselor?
No. I'm not going to get there, but it seems that, you know, I guess Brad Keselowski was the only one that was letting Ricky Stenhouse off the hook because he took the blame for the crash.
Right, because Ricky bumped her into Keselowski.
Right.
Right. But so he's trying to say it's my fault.
So I wonder what that meeting was after. Did they fight on the track? You know how those
guys... I know. They get up and they're all...
Ricky loses either way.
He always loses.
But whatever the case.
And so does Danica. But I'm dumped.
Wow. He's here all week. Try the veal. Congratulations to Floyd Mayweather once again. After destroying a foe who shouldn't have ever been in the ring with him, and Robert Guerrero, once again, he is the world's highest paid athlete. He is projected to make Dwayne Watson. How much for one fight this year?
If I don't do it, just know this is my best Dr. Evil voice. $90 million.
$90 million. And the funny part is on ESPN where they show the... the stat of the highest earning athletes, he has his salary and winnings in one column and then endorsements in the other column. He has $0 in endorsements. $90 million. He fought one fight, but boxing, of course, is dead.
Now, does he have no endorsements?
None.
He doesn't care.
Does not. Why would you care? If off of who you are at 36,
Bet.com's not trying to sign him up first.
I remember Golden Nugget when Bernard Hopkins put the tattoo on his back against Dale Hoyer.
He's just a gambler, man. I'm sure that.
I'm not mad at that.
$90 million. Congratulations.
I mean, the closest guy behind him was LeBron Raymond James at $56.5 million last year. Or
it'll be like three years before he even gets him for a fight. If he's still, you know, what I mean, like. If he's still fighting.
It depends on who he's fighting.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if he loses, he could still get $50 million.
That's how crazy it is.
Right, right.
He's going to get a minimum of at least 40. Like, he's good. So, congrats to Money, because it's about the Money team. on the direct opposite of that, happy trails to the not-so-money team, quarterback David Garrard, who came back to be in competition with the immortal Mark Sanchez in the Jets camp. He decided he couldn't go anymore. So happy trails to David Garrard. Happy trails to Rolando McClain. He's a troubled kid. He decided at the age of, what, 25? That he was going to retire. I don't think he's going to come back like Robbie Rogers did.
No.
He's been arrested so many times in Alabama. He must be on, like, you know, you get employee of the month if you work at, like, a fast food spot. He's like the arrestee of the month.
Yeah, he's the poster child for don't be like this kid.
Well, Titus Young might be in that running too, but we won't get into him. But happy trails, and hopefully in making this decision, he'll get better with himself and try to find some self-control that doesn't have to do anything with sports. I think it's a big deal that he decided to retire from sports to get himself together.
Yeah, that's an adult move.
No doubt. I'm not mad at it. Well, he's trying to be an adult finally, you know.
Better late than never.
Happy trails to one of the greatest linebackers who ever lived. And I don't think that's hyperbole, because Brian Urlacher, Chicago Bears great, decided to retire. And you know what? He and Ray Lewis are eligible in the same year to go in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
5 years from now.
That's right. They both retired. Now,
that'd be kind of cool.
Let me ask you a question.
All right.
Sorry. Go back to Urlacher. Can he come back to the Bears? Forget about for lower money.
I don't think he wants to. I think the way they treated him, he felt disrespected. Plus, the Bears have been notoriously cheap with everybody except Julius Peppers. They gave Julius Peppers a lot of dough.
Right.
But, no, I don't think he'd come back. You think he'd come back?
No, he was disrespected. I'm just saying that, like, obviously the biggest thing is to see that there was nowhere else for him to go around the league. Maybe he goes back but, I mean, maybe, you know what, he's not at his best anymore anyway, so.
Well, who is definitely not at his best on the pitch anymore, but still making that dough.
Oh, yeah.
Your boy David Beckham.
Stepped up, yeah, he's done.
He decided to retire. He's playing in France this year, I
think. Yeah, once he's done that, he's officially done football, so.
But I think they had the last game. Did he have an assist in the last game or something?
Yeah. He still got a little something.
Yeah, but, I mean, you go out on top. And I think they won. Did they win?
Yeah, they won.
So, you know, you go out a winner. Not bad at Bex. He's got a good life. Happy trails. Happy trails to one of the strongest 88-year-old men on the planet. They talk about his handshake at 88. Dr. Jack Ramsey is no longer doing TV and radio for ESPN. He's facing some health problems, and we wish him Godspeed with that. But he's decided to retire from active broadcasting. And he was one of the best. You know, I loved hearing him. And Dave, who did he work with on radio? Not Dave Pasch. God, I can't remember his name. Jim Durham.
Right.
Who passed last year, if I'm not mistaken. So those guys were great together, and I hope Dr. Jack goes and golfs a lot, because he has a lot of pants that work great on the golf course from the 70s. Rest in paradise to Ken Venturi as we speak about golf.
I see what you did there.
Yes, you like that.
I like that.
You know, he won the 1964 U.S. Open despite being dehydrated. Must have been from all that walking. But he passed away.
If he was dehydrated, what about his cabby in the his caddy in the 60s? Well, I'm sure
he was black. Hey, he couldn't say shit. You're a foul, yo. You're a foul. Venturi spent 35 years broadcasting golf, obviously, for CBS Sports. And he died just recently. He was 82 years old. So rest in paradise to Mr. Venturi. And I know that my partner in crime has, you know, some trepidation about speaking about one of the most uniquely named athletes in sports history passing on, and the way he did so. Dwayne Watson.
Rest in peace, Dick Trickle.
Who?
Dick Trickle of the Rampant
Black Redneckery Crew.
Exactly. He prefaces that because I always have issues with people who take their own lives. Obviously not knowing the circumstances and stuff he was dealing with or going on. It's unfortunate. A self-inflicted gun wound to the head.
Yeah, but his brother came out and said he was sick, you know, and part of the reason he did it was that he just couldn't go through the pain. I'm not really sure exactly what he was going through, but hopefully he finds some peace in another place. So rest in paradise, Dick Trickle.
As we move on to the...
Happy birthday shouts, the Brown Bomber, Joe Louis. You know, we were having this conversation about the greatest of all time.
We were.
And Joe Louis is in that conversation, but who did he really beat? Name one guy he really beat that was great.
Oh, gosh. Name one guy he beat that was great.
That's what I just said, yeah.
You said really. I mean,
Melling was a heavyweight champion for a minute, and he was a contender for sure. But he never had some stellar career. It was more about the atmosphere that was surrounding him.
The era.
And the fact that he, all of a sudden, Joe Louis became the symbol for American might because he beat the German, a.k.a.
And nothing to take away from him, but obviously when, you know, you measure greatness versus greatness. And
The story, and everybody has legendary accretion where the stories get bigger and better every time we move forward, right?
Of course.
So to say that Floyd Mayweather, because he didn't fight it as much, he just made $90 million and he fought one time. Sugar Ray Robinson, the guy who's considered the greatest fighter of all time, fought almost 200 times. He only made $4 million in his career. Okay? Floyd made that in a round last year.
Different times, though.
Yeah. But all right, so why isn't he greater? Because you don't have to fight 800 times.
But you're also not great based on the body of work. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not saying that Ray Robinson or Joe Louis did not fight quality fighters, even though Joe Louis did have a bum of the month club. He fought your boy, your favorite fighter, that French guy.
Tomato can.
I guess I'm shitting on him on his birthday, but happy birthday to Joe Louis. Happy birthday to Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher.
Who I can very well shit on as well.
Go ahead.
Well, the all-time, air quotes, leading rusher. Because Sweetness told me.
He stayed the longest, right?
Ray Lewis.
Yes, Sugar Ray. The only other guy that I might call Sugar Ray other than Sugar Ray Robinson.
Ooh, you went there.
That's true. Olga Corbett. 1972, 1976, Olympic champion. She won 4 gold medals at the Olympics and was the first person inducted into the International Gymnastics Hall of Fame in 1988. So she had a birthday. James Cool Papa Bell. Now, if you know anything about Negro League baseball, you know that he was so fast, he could turn the lights off and be in the bed before the light went on. That was the rumor. I love the great yarns they spin about these guys.
Oh, of course.
Like they said that Satchel Paige was pitching to him. And he hit the ball right up the middle. And the ball whizzed by Paige's head and hit Papa Bell in the ass when he slid in the second base. You know? But happy birthday to him.
And he has a badass nickname. Cool Papa.
Cool Papa. Biggie stole that shit, yo. happy birthday to Ray Leonard. Ray Leonard. I'm a hater. That's right.
Wow.
Because I'm a
hater.
Tommy Hearns guy.
Okay. All right.
So Ray Leonard had a birthday. Mr. October.
Reggie Jackson.
Reginald Martinez Jackson had a birthday. I went off the top of that. I can't believe I remembered that shit.
You're good.
You're
a New York guy. Come on.
The kid, Kevin Garnett. AKA, can't call him the kid anymore.
The big ticket.
The big ticket. No doubt. The Joker. Novak Djokovic had a birthday. He's ready to do work at the French Open.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but you know, Rafa Nadal is there.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
The Marvelous One. As we talk about Ray Leonard, you can't talk about him without talking about either Thomas Hearns or Marvelous Marvin Hagler, who had a birthday. Probably the greatest athlete of all time, and Jim Thorpe.
Bigger athlete than Jim Brown?
A lot of people don't realize that Jim Thorpe won Olympic gold in the early 1900s. He played professional baseball, basketball, and football, and he played collegiately. And he's in the Hall of Fame for all those sports.
Boom, he wins.
Jim Thorpe had a birthday. The logo.
Jerry West.
Yes, sir. Had a birthday. And, of course, Carmelo Khayyam Anthony. That's his middle name, yo. I think his middle name is Khayyam. I'm going up the top.
I heard a story about, I watched a story on YouTube about Carmelo when his first year in school. And it's just, I don't know, he's some radio guy. And he was saying how, like, you know, it's Carmelo Anthony. He's going to be a one-and-done guy. Why does this guy even go to class?
Are you serious?
Well, that's what the guy is saying, right? And he shows up to class with a hoodie on, puts his head down, and they're talking about war. It was a history class. Out of nowhere, Carmelo puts his hand up. The professor's like, come on, Anthony's got to answer your question.
All right.
Carmelo! And he said, this is what the guy said, he said, but he was there. War is bad. It makes me sad. And then put his head down back again.
Well, I'm sure all that is forgotten now that he threw his money into their practice facility.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So they don't remember what he did in class.
I'll look for that clip and we'll post it in the footnotes.
We have to. That shit is classic. We're talking about basketball. And I guess...
And college basketball, too, right?
No doubt. And a homecoming of sorts at the University of Michigan. The 10-year ban that was on the program for Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, all the Fab Five guys, including after them, Lewis Bullock and Robert Tractor Trailer, got busted dead to him, were all found to, you know, have improprieties,
or violation.
They're now able to, I guess, come back to campus. Before that, they couldn't. You saw those guys come to the national championship game in Atlanta, though not together. And I guess Dave Brandon, who's the AD at Michigan, said that, you know, I've never spoken to any of those guys. I would love for them to come back. The issue is they still won't recognize what the Fab Five did on the court.
Well, I think the issue exists that they're willing to. The key is... That discussion has to happen for them to make that recognition.
And they're waiting for Michigan to reach out to them. And Michigan thinks that somehow the players should come back crawling to them.
Yeah, and that's going to be a stalemate of sorts. And Jalen says that, you know, the AD feels that he's looking for an apology from Chris. And if that's the case...
It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
He won't even talk to his boys. Why is he going to apologize to Dave Brandon?
But and that's the thing, too, that he's never met him. He was never... Was he even the AD when this shit happened?
No.
Right. So not. It's like, who? What? Like, give me a break.
Well, I think it's about a matter of looking at the school and looking at the prestige of the University of Michigan, one of the best schools in the world. Go Blue. You know I was going to say
that. I know you're going to find that in
there. But... I don't know. It's a healing process, and I think that it would be great.
Like 10 years is a long time. I mean,
to act like they don't know. Like you can't just because you wipe it off the books and you take down the banners. It's not like people are going to forget what the University of Michigan's basketball team with Chris Webber and Jalen Rose and all those guys, what they brought to that university. They're never going to forget that.
I think the bigger healing that's come is within the Fab Five itself because obviously, you know, as you mentioned, they were at the Final Four and Chris was by himself and the other four were with themselves. And those guys coming together, that's going
to
be bigger.
It would be great. It would be great to see. And what I guess was great to see this Memorial Day weekend in the United States was the start of the WNBA season. For the past couple of years, I have to admit, I haven't really given a shit about the WNBA. I like to watch the basketball. It's actually better than it was a couple of years ago to me. And when you saw the three to see, Elena Delle-Donne, Brittany Griner, and of course
Skylar Diggins,
they all had debuts. Well, Skylar had played a game before this one, so she had already played one game, but. Delle-Donne and Brittany Griner played against each other, the Chicago Sky versus the Phoenix Mercury.
Yep.
And Delle-Donne dominated in the game. She had 22-8, even though she did take Carmelo like 21 shots to get there. but her team won 102-80 over the Mercury with Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner on the team. Brittany was in foul trouble. It was a different game than what she played in college.
It is a different game. That's going to be the biggest adjustment for her to adjust. Because where she used to be, like she was playing against, You know, people.
But there are other 6'8", Liz Carmouche, or not Carmouche, was it Carnage or whatever? From she plays for the Tulsa Shock. She's 6'8", Australian girl.
Right, but on an average night, it's like she's not facing girls who are just her size or bigger.
Right.
Who can play that level of pro game. So it's going to be an adjustment. I don't think a lengthy adjustment.
Well, she had 17, 8 rebounds and 4 blocks, including 2 dunks in a game.
First game.
And over 3,000 WNBA games in their history, there have been only 3 dunks in games. 2 of them by Candace Parker and the other one by Elise Leslie.
She got 2.
In her first game ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be fun. I think people are going to go watch.
Are you calling for a WNBA dunk off? Is that what you're calling for?
Between who? Her and her? Like, really? Stop playing. You know, it has to start somewhere. And we talked about starting. And when you're on the road to riches and diamond rings, real champs do real things. And what they do, the best, is win on the road. You know, and you saw that exhibited in the Western Conference champion San Antonio Spurs, who swept the Memphis Grizzlies. I thought it would be more competitive than that.
Yeah.
I really
You know what? It's in the defense it was. It was two overtime games.
What? When you say more competitive.
You thought they'd win one.
Games they should have won, they couldn't close out because they had no outside shooting. And down the stretch, they couldn't make free throws. It was going to come back to bite them in this series. And it did. The Spurs are about the excellence of execution. Word to Bret Hart.
Yep.
And they did that. They closed out when they were supposed to. They won 2 games in hostile environment.
Very hostile environment, too. But that's what real champs do, as you said.
Yeah, and they're on their drive for 5. You know, get that. How many rings do they have right now? They have 4. I said, so they're trying to get their 1, 2, 3, 4.
5th.
And I like the way the Spurs are looking right now. In the East, it's tied up 2-2.
It's a little more complicated over there.
A little bit. You know, there were some questionable calls down the stretch.
You know what's funny? Joey Crawford was only involved in 1 of them.
Please. Joey Crawford was involved in all of them.
No, he didn't call the screen. He didn't call the 6th foul. And he didn't call the LeBron James foul to David West in the head. That with 2 seconds left at the end of the 3rd quarter. When LeBron had the ball in his own end, he got the rebound. David West.
That was terrible. He didn't hit him.
Yeah, but he didn't call that one either. He only called the 24-second shot clock. What else did he call?
No, Joey Crawford always injects
himself. I know he does, exactly. But for that game, all of those would have been a Joey Crawford game. Although nothing is better than
I'm not trying to blame Joey
nothing
Crawford.
Nothing better than Tim Duncan's tee on the bench.
Oh, yeah. That's classic. Of course. Absolutely. But, you know, Roy Hibbert.
And once again, Roy Hibbert.
Yeah. He is actually proving that a good big man can stifle what you do in the middle and offensively. For him to show more hustle than guys who are smaller than he is.
Yeah.
I watched Chris Bosh watch him walk around him for layups in the 4th quarter when Paul George threw the ball off the backboard on that long 3. Chris Bosh just watched Roy Hibbert move to the basket, got the rebound, scored. And they killed him on the glass. You can't get out-rebounded by 20.
And that's the thing. It's like
win a game.
He's getting offensive boards not just because he's bigger, but just because he's moving and other guys are not. They're not trying to put a body in him. So
the difference will be what can they do on the road as game 5, the tipping point, as I like to call it, goes back to Miami this Thursday.
Where the Heat are still undefeated.
Yes, they are. No, they're not undefeated. They lost. They lost game 1.
They still won. My bad.
So a team like Indy, who had been to 4, terrible on the road. You saw what they did in the regular season. For them to win game 5 would be huge.
Oh, for sure. I mean, one thing about Indy is this is not the same team we saw in the regular season.
Absolutely. And it's not the same team that Miami played last year in the playoffs either. So it's going to be a great game. When we talk about, you know, the matchups and the strategy that goes into preparing yourself for these games, you have to look at some of the guys who are getting coaching jobs for the 2013-2014 season, and you ask yourself, was he the owl? Who? Who?
Steve Clifford, the new head coach of the Charlotte Bobcats.
Who?
You know who's going to bring on as assistant coach, though?
Who?
Listen, it's the Charlotte Bobcats.
No, they could. All right, who are they going to bring on as assistant coach?
Patrick Ewing.
A guy who interviewed for the job last year and didn't get it. Michael Jordan stays shitting on Patrick Ewing.
You know what? They could have given the job to Patrick Ewing. You know why?
He stays shitting on Patrick Ewing.
Because it doesn't matter. Charlotte,
I'm going to invite you to my wedding, show up my bad bride, invite you to come and coach on my team, but you'll never be the head coach. Like, you're always the bridesmaid, never the bride, Patrick.
We've talked about this before. I haven't seen any merits that suggest Patrick Ewing should be a head coach.
Show me what Steve Clifford has done.
Dude, he's been an assistant for Van Gundy is sworn by this
and
guy.
And Patrick Ewing played basketball at the highest levels and is a Hall of Fame player.
Oh, so Eric Spoelstra is not a good coach?
Wait, playing
it means something now.
It should mean something. It should. A lot of guys who played should have an opportunity, but they're not getting it. I get it. Whatever. But if they wanted to get a no-name guy real cheap, they should have kept Mike Dunlap. Because
he wasn't liked by his team. He came in.
Really?
He came in as a college coach. Yeah, exactly. And they're like, this is my motherfucking pro.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is what happened. I mean, so and he could be Mike Dunlap part two for all we know. I mean, it's going to take a long time for Charlotte to turn this shit around.
Yo, John Cuse is one of the best assistant coaches in basketball. He couldn't run a team in Detroit. Phil Johnson, who was the assistant for Jerry Sloan for the longest time, was never a great head coach. So it's not a guarantee that just because you sit on this Mike Brown, I'll stop right there. See what I'm saying? It's not a prerequisite.
No, you're right. You're right. Not, but I mean, it's also, but at the same time, I'm not saying, well, yeah, Steve Clifford is a man, but I'd rather Steve Clifford than Eric Musselman. Like, we don't need to keep recycling.
What about Mario Elie or Brian Shaw or.
You're all on the players, Popeye. Eh?
You know what? I'm not mad at guys who spend time on the bench as assistants who already played the game.
But that same rule applies. If guys who are good assistants might not be good head coaches.
Well, we will never know because they're not getting a shot. But if I had to choose between who I'd let coach or not, if my head assistant is a guy who played 10, 12 years in the NBA, who played for different coaches, who won at the top level, I would think he would have an opportunity before these other guys. And not shitting on Steve Clifford, congrats, but I just don't know why he got this job and how he's going to motivate this team. Like, what can he
say? Hold on a second. Let's talk about Patrick Ewing, though. He doesn't have a job right now.
No, he's an assistant now. He's an assistant.
Now he's going to be an assistant. But he hasn't had a job in, what, a season, two seasons?
So?
So what do you mean? Hold on. If you're not even coaching, why should you bring this guy to be the head coach?
I told you why Patrick Ewing got the job. Because Jordan likes to shit on him.
No, because he worked with Patrick Ewing in New York and in Orlando. So there's a relationship there.
That's great. I really think it's still Jordan. I don't care. I mean,
what about our man Lionel Hollins?
Lionel Hollins is going. I don't think he's going to stay in Memphis.
I don't think he's wanted in Memphis.
It's because the new administration wants their own guy, and so I think Lionel Hollins is high on the list of people who could get that Clippers job.
Yeah,
he and Nate McMillan are right there, side by side.
Or Brooklyn, Or Brooklyn.
I can see Nate McMillan going to Brooklyn before I can see him in Clipperland because he's been out of basketball for a minute.
Yeah.
Lionel Hollins has seen more success, especially with his big guys and his point guard. And I think that if he's that guy, or, you know, because of the makeup of the Clippers, he'll be that guy in L.A. I see it.
We'll see. What about Mr. Zebo?
What about Zebo?
I don't think he's going to be back.
Where do you think he's going to go? Because he had a horrid.
But hold on. I don't think his Western Conference Finals has anything to do with why he's not going to be back.
I think it's part of it.
I think money.
Of course it's money because they small market team.
Right.
They jettisoned Rudy Gay and OJ Mayo. So,
and the same reason that they don't want to pay Milano Hollins as well. So it's like.
Well, then he's gone.
He is gone.
Where did he go?
That's a big question. Yeah. Only because he gets paid a fair amount of money. And while I don't think his image is an issue anymore.
No. But I think he finally found a home in Memphis. And I think it would be a mistake not to re-up him or figure out a way to get him on this team and bring in a quality free agent who can score off the bounce and create his own shot down the stretch because they missed that in this playoffs. If you count on Quincy Pondexter and the, you know, effervescent Jared Bayless to do your bidding, you're destined to lose.
And they did.
Well, you know who's been the silent movie out there in La La Land is not so much the white mayor, but Chris Paul. He's getting a free pass for doing the same thing that Dwight has been doing. He hasn't made a decision. He told the Clippers earlier in the year that he didn't know where he's going to go. And he's not, I guess, because of Dwight and the, you know, the scope of eyes on him and his decision making, that Chris Paul has gotten a free pass here.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you called it a silent movie, because he's not being vocal about it. He's not causing a scene. I mean, he gets the same questions Wade gets.
But he is one of the top five players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And for him to, if you don't believe that he had a hand in Vinny Del Negro going.
Without question.
Or that whoever they decide to bring in as the coach is influencing his decision one way or the other. Because Mike Budenholzer, assistant for the Spurs, just got the Hawks job.
Right.
I don't think Chris Paul is going, man, yeah, I'm going to go play for Coach Mike. I don't think he's saying that right now.
Of course he's not. I mean,
that takes Atlanta out of that bidding, I think.
Atlanta, although I know you've prophesized it for a while, I don't think Atlanta was ever really in consideration, because even if Larry Drew stayed, do you think he's going to consider playing for Larry Drew?
It wasn't going to be Larry Drew, but if they could have gotten a quality coach down there and you knew that Dwight was going and he had Josh Smith, it's a real possibility. No one wants to leave a lot of money on the table. But if you go on so far, and you know that Blake and DeAndre are sensitive to the way that Chris leads the team, and it's not going to get better, then, you know, it might be time for a change of scenery.
Or time for DeAndre and Blake to smarten up.
To grow up, too. Yeah,
which
because
very well
you,
can got,
you have a guy who helped you. Who was thinking about DeAndre Jordan before Chris Paul got there? Hold on.
Nobody.
Crickets. So why is he beefing? But whatever, right? I just hope that one way or the other, he comes out and he says something. And I think it will be affected by the move that the Clippers make about bringing in a high-quality coach.
Well, it remains to be seen. I mean, there's lots, still more coaching moves to be made. But and free agency hasn't started yet.
Well, of course, they've had a couple of weeks to get there. But you need a quarterback on your team to do that. And Chris Paul is that guy. And I think if he gets the right coach, he stays.
And don't think you won't have a hand in who that's
absolutely. Well, who definitely doesn't have a hand
in anything.
In whether he's staying or not. And is a quarterback for his team, or was. Yep. Everett Golston from the University of Notre Dame has been suspended for, and the nomenclature on why he was suspended was funny to me.
Yeah. Poor academic judgment.
What is that? Was that what Carmelo did?
Well, so question though, it's only for the 2013 fall term. So that means he could play in like, what's the whole
when?
Season, right?
The season is over in January.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. So he's done.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Got kicked out of school.
Well, it's funny only because he was charted as the guy who was going to start for them next year, even though they got destroyed in the, you know, the BCS championship. And that Gunnar Keel, who was supposed to compete with him,
right,
transferred to Cincinnati.
Yep.
So now I'm wondering if Gunnar Keel is lamenting his decision.
Well, yeah, but he's been like a bit of a traveling man, so I'm sure he'd like to come back, but that's not really in the cards.
No, that's not.
How bad do you have to mess up for the school to suspend you? Because, I mean, like, everyone knows what's going on. The tutors, the coaches, they have
an idea. You know how hard it is to get into Notre Dame in the first place?
Yeah, it's not easy.
So how poor was your academic judgment? Like, what does that mean exactly? Let's hypothesize.
Yeah.
Does that mean?
It's very
great. You know what?
Poor academic judgment.
Do I go to lunch or do I go to class? Class will always be there, son. They had Salisbury steak today.
And you know they have Salisbury steak.
You know what I mean? Like, what happened? What is that? I don't get it, but whatever the case is, hopefully he finds somewhere and he can still go to school and get his degree. It's not just all about football. You know, another tough school to get into, one of the top schools in the United States.
And also another whatever happened there question.
Columbia University. We haven't heard a lot about this situation at all.
Maybe because it's Columbia.
I don't know. Well, you know, if you didn't or weren't aware, a defensive lineman by the name of Chad Washington was charged with a hate crime earlier this month.
Now he's not the only felon in this situation, but of course he plays football, so that's why we're talking about it.
All right.
A lot of ignorant tweets.
Well, it was directed at Asian students on the...
And gay students. It wasn't gay students. It was just a lot of gay slurs.
You know, when Asian... I'm just going to read one of them. And remember, these are not safe for work.
Neither is this podcast.
But this podcast is a whole nother shit. This dude said, when Asian people fall asleep in class, the teachers can't tell. LOL. Almost got thrown out of an SAT room for calling a kid a homo when he was wearing capri jeans. What is wrong with our society? And last but not least, he says that someone is a full-blown fag. He talks about bending another man over and doing Lord knows what. Watch out. I'm like, really? And this is football players... on the Columbia team. When's the last time that Columbia had any football players worth note other than Marcellus Wiley, who is a commentator now at ESPN? Name one.
Does that justify the behavior?
No, it does not. Okay. I'm just asking, like, why do they, you know, I think it's because the whole jockocracy, when we talk about this sometimes, that they feel superior to everyone, and there's a heightened kind of hyper-masculinity. Yeah. And the whole thing. And so they go out and they feel untouchable in a lot of ways.
Well, I think the bottom line is they don't think. They don't think about what they do. Like that. Clearly. Like if you read those tweets, it's like reading locker room banter.
Well.
However, it's on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, well, cyber stupidity cannot be tolerated here and we won't allow it to happen. But if I ask you your opinion, make sure I give it to you first, as it happened with the 2013 MVP, Adrian Peterson, who was asked about gay marriage.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? I have family members and friends who I love dearly. I just don't agree with their choices.
Yeah, something he doesn't believe in.
Right. It's not what he believes in. And people are starting to castigate him for offering his opinion because it didn't jive with the talk of the times.
And he should be
sensitive to these things.
And it's funny because I like the way he put it out there.
Right.
He didn't Chris Broussard it, you know what I mean? So it's like, but you know what? It's like, I don't know. I mean, like, he wasn't on the military ignorance tip. He was like, hey, he almost used that black friend thing, but at the same time, he doesn't have...
No, I can't compare that the same
way. What do you mean? I have relatives who are gay. I'm not biased towards them. That's like saying
No. It's not the same thing.
Dude, you know, then
some,
he said...
If you said some of my best friends are black, that's a totally different thing than saying, you know what? I acknowledge that I have, you know, people who have different orientation around me. And I love them for who they are as people. But their choices don't have to be mine. And that's what I see.
You said it a little more eloquently, and I'm not saying he didn't say it well. He did say it well, but you're right. If you say something that doesn't go with the times...
But here's the thing. Why do they have an issue? Because they don't agree? Because he didn't go, oh, yeah, you know, I'm all for gay marriage, so he's enlightened somehow? You're not any less enlightened just because you don't agree with... I'm that guy today.
I know you are.
It has been noted. I think that people are assholes for knocking him... for being honest about it. Don't ask me my opinion and then don't like it when I give it.
But it's not the same people who are asking who are having issues with it.
Well, whatever. You know, there are multiple opinions out there, whether it be about gay marriage and talking to NFL players or the protocol around how young, you know, athletes should be able to find people to help them make their money.
And this is obviously Geno Smith and Roc Nation is what's for debate right now.
Right.
Roc Nation is a marketing firm that works with the CAA.
All right.
Athletes.
Right.
But this isn't the first time Mr. Sean Corey Carter,
yes, sir,
as Will would say,
yeah,
has found himself in a bit of a pickle with athletes because he's Jay-Z and then he's also Mr. Roc Nation.
Right. So, you know, there are rules. I think I forget what the rule is in the NFL called the runner's rule.
Yeah.
Where you can't, your agents can't have colleagues or friends who, like, aren't certified agents.
Right.
Helping to recruit.
Right.
And in this case, because of Jay-Z's status and his relationship with CAA, it can be inferred.
And the fact that he's not an agent, not a legal agent.
It can be inferred that somehow he swayed Geno Smith from the New York Jets to his agency.
Of course, because he's Jay-Z.
Yeah, but he didn't have to go and recruit anybody.
But if he meets...
If this dude meets him,
he violates the rules.
Right, I get it. But if it's... Let me put it like this. Maybe Jay-Z didn't have an official meeting with him about being his agent. Maybe Tom Condon, who I think is...
He is. He's the main guy.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
Tom Condon reached out to him, and he's like, we want you here. We know that you fired your agent. We'd love to have you here. You know of our affiliation with Roc Nation. This is a young guy who probably grew up on Jay-Z's music.
Of course.
So there's nothing you can do to avoid that part of it.
But obviously, it wouldn't be an issue if they could prove
And the fact of the matter that the Roc Nation CAA relationship is open for every sport except football. Did you see that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Well, you know, they have the established a relationship with CAA in sports other than football. So that's part of the issue. Like, where initially people thought, oh, man, it's a racial thing. It's too easy to jump to the easy bake, right? Because, oh, well, Jay-Z's a black man trying to do it. If it was Lee Steinberg or Drew Rosenhaus, they wouldn't say anything about it. But they're agents.
Exactly.
And they don't have the same kind of agreement. And they don't represent anybody outside of football anyway. So it's going to be interesting how they either adjudicate here or amend the rules to help them out.
But also how motherfuckers want to find me.
Like that?
Yes.
Run it again, sir. Speaking of running, a lot of people who are not running anymore are retired NFL vets.
Some of them are even walking.
Yeah, it's sad. And there's a question, as the NFL is always under lawsuit.
Always under
If Al Davis was still alive, he'd be proud. Because all they do is get sued. And there's a question about who should bear the brunt of the retired NFL players' medical bills. And we can clearly see that if you gave service to the NFL, that somehow the NFL should take care of that. Especially guys who played a certain number of years.
Let me ask you a question, because if it has to be over 3 years to be eligible for benefits,
right,
which are still limited at some point, but is that enough? Should it only be, why is 3 years the number?
Collective bargaining.
I know, but I wonder if that's like, you know, if you get played 2 years and you get a concussion, too bad, so sad?
I mean, they have to set parameters somewhere, though, Dwayne.
I understand that, but...
And from a business standpoint, if you spend more than 10 years in the league, and I think we probably talked about this offline before.
Mm-hmm.
If you spend X amount of money, whatever the minimum years should be doubled or tripled.
Right.
So if you spent, you know, I'm serious. If you spent 3 years in the league,
yeah,
they should give you 9 years of coverage, especially if you were injured. Right. If you spent 10 to 12 years, that should be a lifetime. So if it's 10 to 12 years, what's another 30, 36? They don't want to deal with that. Paying those pensions,
right,
and the medical bills. But if they played like that, and you see a guy like Reggie Williams, who doesn't even have a kneecap. His leg looks so ugly in this article.
Yeah,
you know?
It looks like
it's disgusting. But he's trying to figure out how to get somebody to pay for his expenses. I don't think this is going to get solved. They'll run this like they run everything else in the NFL.
Yep.
Until it's totally exhausted. And you can't fight him in court anymore.
Yeah, because they have the lawyers to do it.
Well,
and, you know, he's still paying for legal fees.
Well, you know, you're talking about paying and legal fees. Man. Young Tyron Smith from the Dallas Cowboys, an offensive lineman from the Cowboys, has the saddest story of all to
who,
me.
Who would have thought?
Who?
I'm just saying, like,
Kobe Bryant's going through it.
Not to this extent.
No. It's, I mean, to the degree that Mr. Smith's parents and his family are extorting him and basically stealing money from him who is supporting them. Like, he gave them a set amount of money. He's like, all right, I'm cool. And they keep asking for more, more, more. Yeah, and he's putting stress on him.
Well, he has a restraining order against his parents and his siblings.
Hey, Kobe could be in the same situation.
He signed this deal, a $12.5 million deal. He set up a certain amount of money that he's going to give them.
And for an installment payment. So you can see that he's at least thinking from a tax standpoint and from, like, let's spread it out a little bit so you don't get it all at once and, like, keep coming back to ask me for more.
But Smith's quote is like, this is a good quote. You know, there was nothing wrong with helping them out and making sure they were taken care of, but not something to where they live the same lifestyle as you.
And that's the issue, right?
Yeah.
Because they think just because you made it, you did all the work, we supposed to eat just like you, Tyron.
Exactly.
Nah. And it's ridiculous. And I hope that it doesn't, you know, someone doesn't end up dead. Because these are the type of situations that somebody could be at a family barbecue. And Oliver Miller could be there. He pulls out a gun. You know, let me stop slandering Oliver Miller. But you get what I'm saying.
No, definitely.
And hopefully they clear this up soon so this kid has a good season, allowing Tony Romo to get sacked, and I told you I was that guy today.
You were.
As we move from one arena to the next, Lucas Matisse,
yes sir,
is a motherfucking beast.
The machine.
They
don't call
him
the machine for no reason.
Hey, you know what? He destroyed Lamont Peterson, a champion at 140. I mean, absolutely destroyed him. He's the scariest boxer in fighting right now. You know, somebody, I think Richard Schaefer from Golden Boy, went so far as to call him the new Manny Pacquiao. Don't pump your brakes just a little bit.
Yeah.
But he has destructive power in both of his hands. He knocked Peterson out in the third round. And he has a laundry list of people who are waiting to get their heads smashed in by him because he's a dangerous guy. Could he move to 147 and challenge maybe a Floyd Mayweather, a Robert Guerrero, somebody like that?
Well, after someone compared him to Matisse, he's like, sure, I appreciate the compliment. Let me fight him.
Right.
Because that's kind of attitude
that
he has.
That is, he lives in a small fishing village in Argentina. He's like, no salsa, no moringa, just, yo, just do work.
Yeah.
That's him.
And that's what he does when he gets in the ring.
No doubt. Speaking of lateral movement in the ring, because Peterson needed to find some in front of Matisse. Carl Froch and Mikel Kessler did their dance again.
Mm-hmm.
The first fight, Kessler defeated Froch. And this time in England, Froch easily handled Kessler in a pretty good battle.
Yeah, it wasn't a wipeout.
No doubt. But the score, you know, he's just busier. I mean, this guy threw 1,000 punches.
Much busier.
When you see super middles throwing 1,000 punches in a fight.
Yeah.
And then you look at his punch output against Andre Ward, the undisputed. I don't care who has his straps right now. Yeah. And Carl Froch has straps at 168. Andre Ward is the best fighter in that division. And he wants to fight him again, even though Andre Ward destroyed him the first time they fought.
With one hand.
Yeah, but you know what? There are no dance partners at 68. He's already defeated the light heavyweight champion in Chad Dawson. So they're going to scrap again, I'm sure. And he'll beat Froch again. Even though I don't know how Froch is in the top 10 boxing. That's a whole nother conversation. Yeah, I'm not going to even go
exactly
there. You know, if you talk about next, this is my guy who I think should and will be in the top 10 after he defeats Paulie Malignaggi June 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Paulie faces the Can Man,
Adrian Broner.
The problem, Adrian Broner. And I just cannot see how Paulie Malignaggi can beat him.
Hey, Paulie can help sell a good fight, though.
Well, I think that's that. You know what? That might be the best part of the fight. Before the fight, because They were talking so much shit before the fight.
So much shit.
That when they get in the ring, I can see Paulie track shoes getting on. And he's going to run around the ring all night and stay away from Adrian Broner. And I guess, you know, in the ring sometimes you can be safety first. But sometimes you have to be safety first outside the ring too. And there was a rumor that former welterweight champion Antonio Margarito, or Margachito, depending upon who you talk to, was talking about coming back to the ring to fight. And he wanted to quell these rumors of him coming back to fight because of a safety issue, not so much with his eye, which was injured against Pacquiao,
reconstructed,
but about his family. You know, the millions of dollars that were going to his ex-wife, who lives in Tijuana, Mexico, the kidnapped capital of the world.
Yes.
You will be held for ransom. And as soon as he was like, yo, and what was the quote that he said? There was a great quote from him. He was saying that these rumors need to stop because he was, he needed to make sure that his family was safe, you know? And
which is a big reality. I mean, especially when, you know, everyone knows he's a hero. The people know he's made money.
Well, they're waiting for the divorce settlement to come in, and I think that's part of the reason why he's trying to be as discreet as possible, because he says,
"Well, it's been 2 years since they've been separated, so it's not like the divorce has been immediate,
right?"
The divorce settlement has not been finalized, and as civilized people, we respect each other's life, and during this time, we've been negotiating the settlement. With what we share, I will expect that it will help us to live, if not full of luxuries, in a comfortable lifestyle. However, when people started talking of a millionaire settlement exposing Michelle and my children, who live in Tijuana, Mexico, to becoming victims of blackmail and even kidnapping, that's why I wanted to make this public statement about the situation.
I think that's, you know, I think that's a stand-up move by him.
Yeah.
And I think to protect his ex-wife and his kids in a place that, again, like, the fact of the matter is, as soon as they hear that money, it's ransom time. You know, so hopefully they get that squared up. But I guess you have to applaud Margarito for his discretion and wanting to take care of his family, especially his children.
And that's good. I mean, family first, right?
But I guess in some cases, not so much in the at the State University of New Jersey or Rutgers and New Brunswick, New Jersey, where the new athletic director, what's her name again? Julie Herman.
They got a woman. That's good.
Yeah, well, I guess. You know, she's in some hot water. But in her entry interview and press conference, someone asked a question about, you know, something from her past.
Her previous,
to which she denied remembering or knowing anything about it.
Did she misremember?
She must have.
Gotcha.
Because clearly, she forgot about the sexual discrimination suit that she was faced with in 1998. Now, when you think a woman who's in charge in a sexual discrimination suit, somehow it's either a man was harassing her or something like that. That's the first thing that popped in my mind. When you find out that it was toward another woman who was a volleyball, I think she was the volleyball coach at the University of Tennessee at the time.
Yeah.
And she told the young lady whose name at the time, I can't remember right off the top.
It's okay.
She was told, I guess she was getting married and she was about to have a baby. And Herman told her, you know what? Enjoy your life. Enjoy the honeymoon, all this stuff. Just don't come back with a baby because it'd be tough to have him, you know, or her in the office. I'm like, damn, dog. She got married. What kind of loving message is that? No, I'm serious. So, you know.
But even further than that, when she was the coach, she called the players whores, alcoholics, and learning disabled.
Are you serious?
It's right there, black. There's mental
money. Food. She is like fucking Mr. Rogers in comparison to Mike Rice, the former basketball coach at Rutgers.
Which is so weird that you would think they would be super sensitive to that case when they hired this woman.
So what's up with the screening process at Rutgers?
She kept her skeletons down. When they asked her in the interview, she probably misremembered.
Look at you. Is that air quote time?
Well, I have no idea how they could have overlooked this, because this was a big deal.
Well, they settled out of court. for $150,000 to the young lady who she told not to come back with the kids. What was her name? Alison Strickland Harvey.
Yeah.
You know, she quit the Lady Vols because of Herman and then returned after Herman was no longer the coach. She said she had hoped the years had changed Herman. I like to think she had evolved. So normally when you think about a situation like this, it's some caveman dude who's running it.
And
instead, it's this woman who's, I guess, you can say she was a career climber. And she's gotten the support of Rutgers. And of course she would. Because they don't want to look like the asses that they are. You go and you fire your former AD. You fire your former head basketball coach. You bring in a new coach, in Eddie Jordan, who never graduated from the university.
He never graduated?
No! He did not graduate. How can you tell? How can you be the coach and tell these kids to go to class?
He still hasn't got back and got
it? No. How can you be the head coach of the basketball team and tell the kids they have to graduate?
I didn't
know. I better not see any Eddie Jordan PSAs about. I'm dead serious, B. I'm dead serious.
Was he hypnotizing the 80s with his pretty eyes?
I had no idea. On some Reggie Theus shit. But whatever the case is, it's going down and not in a good way at Rutgers. So, you know, whatever. You know, a lot of people are making this squeeze play. As we talked about earlier with the NFL, not necessarily paying the retired players their medical benefits. Mm-hmm. In the Major League Baseball, it's not so much the players, but the people, the support staff of the MLB teams, they don't want to pay their support staff pension.
Why am I not surprised?
But they're making record profits.
But how do you make more record profits?
By keeping more of it to myself.
Exactly.
And getting rid of people and saying, you know, and it's funny when, and with the quote right here, what it says, right?
A vote, which it intended to keep a secret, no longer a secret, my friend, is now scheduled to take place at owners' meetings May 8th through 9th in New York. A majority of owners now favor the abolition of the pension plan, a source said.
Well, you know what? Like you said, like, I don't get why they won't pay these people who work for them.
It's on some trying to keep the profits, but it's bad. Not even bad karma. It's just bad.
It's bad business, period, yo. And you think about whether it be Major League Baseball or even the world sports leader, ESPN, who got rid of 7,000 people. You have to imagine how many people actually work for ESPN for you to lose 7,000 people.
Are you sure it's 7,000
people? Or something like, I'm sorry.
I think there was 4,000 people and there was a 10%. They said it was going to be 10. Someone.
All right, so maybe I exaggerated the numbers a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. There's 10%. Of the staff.
So it's like 400 people, right?
Yeah, 10% of the 4,000.
But that's just in Bristol alone. Because, you know, they're about to build a new studio in Miami through Disney. They're already out in L.A. Their office is right next to the Staples Center.
Yeah, they're in New York.
And of course, in New York. And here's the thing. ESPN, which averages 115 million viewers a month, is very profitable. In the last quarter, the operating income of Disney's cable networks rose 15% to $1.72 billion, with Disney partly attributing that to ESPN. But somehow they have to let go of people?
Because they have to keep more profits. Maybe they've been talking to MLB.
Maybe they're saving up the higher-ups.
They got to let go some more people to do that.
No doubt. No doubt, but what we don't want to do is let you go, at least not for too long, because we have a grand announcement.
You make it like a grand announcement.
It is a grand announcement because we're switching the pitch up a little bit.
Okay, it's an announcement. A grand announcement's like going to ESPN.
That would be grand.
That would be grand.
So you want to tell?
I mean, like this, you can run it, set it off.
Look, man. As a result of the growth.
you got the professional voice on now.
I'm just saying, as a result of the growth in our business here at All Balls Don't Bounce Media Incorporated with TSN, the Canada sports leader, and one-on-one with Will and Dwayne, only on TSN 1050.
Each and every week?
Yes.
And all the other ventures that we're involved in.
Yeah, yeah, it's the last of all.
We're continuing the hustle and the grind to keep the sports media world right.
You know, we are going to go to, I guess, a bimonthly.
Yeah.
Yes, bimonthly.
We're not leaving you.
We're not leaving.
We're just
going bimonthly. So the next time you hear us would be late July. And we're still going to update our social media.
And we're still going to keep giving you the news.
See?
The stock information.
The news, views, and truth that you choose.
I got caught.
And this is part of the reason why, because we're so focused on
the story behind the story, though.
Yeah, always. So I want you to make sure to keep sending us stories. Shout out to our people, Magnum Prime, Dom De Laurenti, everybody.
Yeah, you can't even
Aaron Walker, like there's so many people, you know, the Deacon, everybody, man.
Yeah, and we're still going to be here. We're just not going to be here as frequently. Assassinating.
No doubt. The character flaws.
Yeah, and your weapons of media deconstruction.
Yeah, so I guess.
And we're still going to be around at Wall Strizzle number one and at Sweets Watson.
Indeed. And on our other social networks. Where can they find us, sir?
At ABD Media.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Facebook.com/AllBallsDon'tBounce. No, ABD Media, sorry. That's taken.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes Music Store for all the podcasts, as well as
Stitcher Radio, yeah.
And you can still hit us up at allballsdon'tbounce@gmail.com in the in-between time.
Until, I guess, late July.
Yes, sir.
I am the entrepreneurial Wall Street Will Strickland, and he is.
And always will be Dwayne Sweets Watson, a.k.a. Swiss Franks.
Mr. Sonic Engineer, Rich Kid, please do the honors. All Balls Don't Bounce, part of the Gone Network. Easy. Put your game face on, get ready for the tip-off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show, we bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you're playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause we speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports, or what's popping. It's four quarters of absolute rawness. It's if you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's